Consensus 1234 invites you to get this with Tony Martin and Andrea Powell.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Everyone in Australia, above the ground or below it, listening in today. Ed Cavalier is in the sidecar.
Morning, Tone.
And welcome back to the show. It's Andrea Powell. Actually, come back for more.
I sure have. I couldn't get enough.
All right, now look, let's just get it out of the way now and then we can all move on. Your Ethel Chop. There's no point denying it.
No, there is no point denying it, although a lot of people don't know who I am. I once got an invitation to a ball and the envelope was addressed to Ethel Chop. My name wasn't even on it.
Wow.
So there you go. She's more famous than I am.
Did she go along, you know?
No, she didn't. She stayed in a bag in her wardrobe where she belongs.
Right, well. Bag in the wardrobe. Is that what
Wow.
she lives?
Yep.
If you've ever heard a strangely cantankerous woman calling up a radio program, it's probably been Ethel, and we're hoping to get you to chop up before the end of the show, Andrea.
Oh, well, we'll see. We'll see if she turns up or not.
Now, I know we've been very obsessed with the comedy festival in Melbourne for the last few weeks, but it is on, and we've been getting some great guests out of it. And are you involved? Is Ethel?
Ethel's doing a couple of spots here and there, but I'm directing a show. A friend show called Family Ties this year, which is kind of cool because I don't, don't have to perform.
Ah.
It's wonderful. Don't have relatives turning up.
Oh, do they do that? Do they come along and give you notes?
Oh, I've done a few shows in Perth where my family are, and it's always been a bit of a nightmare when they've turned up, you know. They
really?
Say things like, how do you remember all those lines? which is terrific. And, I love that other fellow. What was his name?
Yeah, it's always someone else.
You know? And my favourite was from Dad when he said to me, you're up there for over an hour. I felt like saying, sorry about that. A little longer than I anticipated. So did you ever perform for your family? Have you ever had friends?
Oh, I've had my mother show up occasionally, and I did not say that. I did not talk about the good scissors that often. Just constantly things like that. But she was just, and then always, I should be getting a cut of the royalties from your show. Like there's some kind of royalties performing to 60 people in a pub.
Exactly.
but we're not speaking. So that doesn't happen anymore.
No, well, I nearly didn't speak to Dad for a while either because he offered me, after he saw one of my shows, he offered me $2,000 to hire a writer. Which I am.
$2,000.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you take him up on it?
I didn't, and I should have. What an idiot. Because he gave my brother $2,000 for a guitar because he's a musician, and I guess he thought he'd like to help me out. And my lack of talent. So.
But what about Ed? Your mum listens to the show, does she not?
Yeah, she calls most days just to sort of, why don't you mention the cats,
That could be a segment.
Well, I probably shouldn't get started because I'm slightly obsessed with him, so I'd go on and on.
What did she say she does? She works for she's a secret agent
she works
or something?
She works in the immigration department. She's had the most incredible jobs.
Right.
Yeah, which of course none of them I can mention. But, But she speaks fluent Thai. That's pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah.
And is she the one who has to hold up the cue cards when people are doing the, repatriation ceremony? Is
no,
she
but those things
are
hilarious. I've been to a couple. They're wonderful.
Yeah.
You really do get a pie at the end of it and stuff. It's great.
Well, in honour of your mother, how many cats have you got?
Yeah.
That's not. It's just
okay.
Not.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're not going to get a segment out of that. I notice, Andrea, you've brought along, as so many of our co-hosts do, you've brought along the new weekly.
I have, Tony. And you know what? I haven't even read it yet because the front cover is doing it for me so much. Look, big wall.
Oh, hot 66. Bodies. The secrets of the biggest losers.
Do they count as hot bodies now?
Well, I think Wall thinks it is.
What were the secrets? Did you see that the other day? I saw the ad for it and it had an enormous man who had been, the part where they get photographed when they're fat.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And one of the secrets was that when he'd been photographed, he'd stuffed some socks down the front of his pants. Given that it looked like there was an entire wardrobe down there already, I don't see how one pair of socks was going to improve his image.
Yeah, it'll distract you from his gargantuan thighs.
There's a story. I mean, it's Charlie Sheen. Obviously, that's a disturbing
class act.
Story. Oh, He's a classy bloke. But it's in the realm of, divorce papers. Oh, so, who knows who said what, really.
Yeah.
But what I love is just this small detail. On a holiday to Barbados in December, Denise Richards said she confronted Charlie about his gambling pornography that she'd found on his computer, emails he'd received from prostitutes. Now, we all know that Charlie Sheen likes a prostitute, but at what point do you get the stage where you're exchanging emails?
Yeah. Well, maybe if money is owed, perhaps.
Okay, sending invoices out.
Yeah.
He's got an ABN number happening and he's running a minor corporation from his pants.
Wow.
That's what he's likely to do. Okay, I think the program has found its level.
So
let's crank it up and get going. You want to stick around, Andrea?
I sure do. I don't want to be anywhere else.
Coldplay with Talk.
I was across that edge.
No, you weren't, Tony. You were playing with the age.
I was playing with the newspapers because I just love looking for... Andrea Powell is our co-host.
Oh, yes.
Hello.
And I love looking for letters in the 50-50 columns and the Your Say columns around the country.
They are fun.
That may have been sent in by Ethel Chopp. And there's one today that says, when I was a boy, we had to pay to see the tattooed lady in the sideshow tent. Nowadays, we can see her everywhere for free.
Yeah. Is that a good thing? I think they're impressed. I think they're happy.
That's from Howard Molson of Dandenong.
Howard can't believe his luck.
It's Ethel Chopp.
Was Howard Molson the bloke who had the shovel in Ripping Yarns? The coal shovel?
Yes.
So
it's got to be close.
So someone's chosen that for a name?
That's good.
Why not just go with Angry? It's always good.
Angry Baldwin.
Have you been following the mining tragedy, disaster, rescue, hope, triumph story?
Andrea? What's happened?
You haven't seen the news?
I'm joking. How could you not?
I mean, it's the news coverage. I was watching last night and they're just so desperately trying to pad it out. Has the drill begun to turn yet? When it begins to turn, at what speed will it be turning?
Last night they were actually showing the hospital beds that they will be staying in once they get there.
This is a corridor, at least one similar to the one they may be pushed out.
We believe they'll be lying on sheets similar to these.
They're being crushed. They're being, because they're in this cage and there's rocks and Naomi Robson pushing them down. Every time another photographer arrives on the scene.
Yeah, they can't be helping.
On the front page of every paper nationally yesterday, there was a picture of the reenactment. You know, there's two guys sitting in a similar cage.
Oh, my God.
And every paper just went with, have a look at that. Every paper just went with the photo of that image, just from a slightly different angle.
It is bizarre.
Courier Mail went from on top. You know, I think the Age went with a drawing.
And the talk that you get in the... Listen to this. This is in the Melbourne Age today. You've got TV executives saying it's going to be the hottest story of the year.
What if Beck has another baby?
Miners shift over, buddy.
Miners.
And then they're talking... Listen to this kind of talk. These guys haven't even been rescued yet. Yeah. And you've got stuff in the paper like... Douglas Wood is a textbook example of how it can go wrong. His TV tale was a ratings disaster given the $400,000 cost. But the Lindy Chamberlain, Stuart Diver and somebody else, Scott, who would that be? Oh, the bloke who survived on the Mars bar.
Oh, yes.
Remember that story?
Yeah.
All delivered good returns.
Good.
All delivered good returns.
Yeah, it's an investment.
So sick.
And there seems little doubt that the Webb Russell story would do the same. They're already chopping up the profits.
Hell yeah.
The blokes haven't even come out yet. You've got the Premier of Tasmania, Paul Lennon, saying it's a great story of courage and determination.
Yep.
When they get to the top and tell their story, it will become one of the great folklore stories, a great Aussie yarn. Mm. So they haven't even been rescued and they're already being fitted out for a suit made of cliches.
Yeah.
A box filled with every crappy cliche from every TV movie.
Who's that guy that sings, "Hey, True Blue"?
He'll be there.
Yeah,
what's going on?
I would wager anything.
Every time you hear something about these guys, they sound interesting. They sound funny. They want a copy of the newspaper sent through because they're looking for new jobs.
Yeah, that was funny.
They want iPods because they want to listen to the Foo Fighters.
Yeah.
They're interesting guys.
Mm.
Up top, no, it's a story of triumph and courage and, you know, Stuart Diver-style telemovies. Remember Craig McLaughlin playing Stuart Diver? Mm. How do you think Stuart Diver felt sitting there and it's at the snow...
Yeah.
It's at the snow, and out comes Stuart Diver, and he's got his shirt off.
Yeah.
It's Craig McLaughlin. They found a way in the first scene to get his shirt off.
Yeah. And then I thought it was weird when he broke out into Hey Mona. when they dragged him out. I thought that was a bit nuts.
But it was in slow motion.
That's so true.
It's just they haven't even been rescued yet, and they're already sinking in a sea of cliches.
Yeah. Well, someone's gonna top the lot. There's gonna be one cliche. We should be looking out for the one cliche above them all. You know,
Shaft of Hope. It's coming. I'm telling you, the Shaft of Hope is coming. They're way more interesting than that. One of them's called Brant.
I know.
What's going on there?
One of them's called what?
Brant. Is that someone?
B-R-A-N.
Mum wanted Brent and Dad wanted Grant, so we've compromised.
Brett.
Could
Brent.
Be Grant. Grant or Brand?
My friend has a friend whose name is, a girl whose name is Craigette.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Craigette. I don't believe
isn't
it.
Pretty?
That's outrageous.
Oh, look, did you, and what was Naomi Robson's, have a listen to what Naomi Robson said on Today Tonight last night.
That brings me to a report in the Sydney Daily Telegraph's confidential column today that claimed, I have a luxury camper van on site just to do my makeup and hair that's the envy of all. Well, that's news to me. I don't have a camper van. There are three of us here, and our home is a little four-wheel drive when we're on site, and I do my own hair and makeup.
Aha!
The story was simply made up. It turns out the Daily Telegraph reporter took the word of a nameless and faceless producer from a rival television network, and they call that journalism.
Oh. By the way, here's how you can lose a lot of weight in a hurry.
Yeah. We're going to rate soft drinks for the next 3 days.
Her home is what? A four-wheel drive that she's staying in with her sound guy and cameraman.
Well, she just said three of us. She didn't specify who they were.
Oh, exactly.
But I'm glad she's gone on record about doing her own hair and makeup, because I've heard that rumour for years. Because to me, the makeup looks a bit thick. I'm sorry on Naomi. Yeah. It looks a tad drag queenish. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
And my wife has worked at Channel 7. She's gone, apparently does her own makeup.
Yeah.
And now she's gone on record. There I'm just is. Picturing, so Naomi's in like the back of a tiny vehicle. Huh? Peering into a little mirror with a sticker lipstick. And they rescued those miners yet.
Drawing on her own eyebrows 2 inches too high.
She's always surprised.
Mm.
Look, have I ranted on? I feel like I've been...
You were thumping the desk.
I feel like I'm standing up on Angry Anderson soapbox from the old midday show.
It was awesome. You were thumping your pan and your neck was bulging. It was great.
And
you're a passionate man, Tony Martin.
What have you got? I know I should be going to a song, but you seem to be clutching an article with the word dolphins on it.
Yeah, because...
Can we do it after the song?
A middle part... Sorry?
I was going to say do it after the song, have some suspense.
It's very quick. It's very quick. A Middle Park father of three yesterday pleaded guilty to a charge of interfering with dolphins.
How do you do that?
I don't know. You'd inappropriate behaviour on the back of a jet ski? I'm not quite sure.
Oh, I don't know.
It was a very strange charge. Anyway,
so he caught up. So wait a second. He caught up to them on a jet ski and then managed to jump off the jet ski and interfered
with them. I'm not quite sure what that
action
means.
Hero.
Offered them some sweets.
Yeah, some sardines.
There you go. I'm sure there's a blowhole aspect that's not going to be mentioned in this
not at all.
Because frankly, that would be tasteless.
Yeah.
And that's what this program is not about. Yes, that'd be Blink 182, all the small things here at Get This on Triple M. Andrea Powell has just had to pop down and put some money in the meter.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're murder around here.
They are.
I'll jump on you.
They're on it.
Hey, here's some good news, Ed. We've been talking for weeks about how we're going to do our movie show.
Ah, yes.
We're going to get Lockie Human here.
Oh, yeah.
Finally tracked him down. He's a reclusive man.
He is.
You have to put a sort of bat signal up to contact him. But
he knows his movies.
He's a good bloke. We met him on the film Boytown.
Yeah.
Ed and myself both had tiny roles.
Oh, yeah.
Lockie had quite a big role.
Yeah.
And has done some excellent work. So we're going to get him in here. We're just going to do... it'll be like a footy show panel.
Oh, yeah.
But just talking nothing but movies for an hour. It's going to be next Thursday.
Ah, good.
On Get This.
Good.
Welcome to Nerdsville.
Population us.
And the podcast. A lot of people saying, what is the deal with you guys' podcast?
What's the dealio, Tone?
What we're trying to do is, because a lot of people just put little 3-minute, 2-minute bits.
What?
I wanted to put down a whole show. We see people saying, put down a whole show, like, you know, with all the songs and ads cut out, it goes about 55 minutes, doesn't it, Bear? The hour, once you cut the songs and ads out?
Yeah, it does.
55, 56 minutes. That's what I'm told.
Thanks for being diplomatic, Bear.
So we've done that for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, but we can only really do one a week because Matty's, you know, got 7 shows to service. He's got to do all those. You never know what we're going to play next promos. He's got his hands full.
That monkey's not going to program himself.
So we've had, you know, people calling in, when are you going to put this up? When are you going to put up? So because everyone has been demanding it, we're going to move into a best of format.
Ah, good.
And as I understand it, the new podcast will be up there tomorrow.
Good.
So have we sorted that out?
Oh, yeah, I'm sweet.
Have we got someone on the phone? We got some. Hello, who's that on the phone?
Hello.
Oh, it's not Ethel Chopp, is it?
Oh, is that you, Mr. Martin?
Yes.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Look, I wouldn't normally listen to your vile heathen program, Mr. Martin, but ever since Soxy urinated on the wireless, it's been stuck on Triple M.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, well, I can't get any station, and as a result, I know all the words to Nickelback songs, which is about as useful to me as brain cancer. Anyway, look, I heard you've got a haunted studio?
Yes, I'm afraid we do.
Oh, I can hear it. Is. What a coincidence, because my 72 Ford Cortina with original brake pads, they'll be worth a bit one day. It's recently been making some unusual noises too. There's this odd knocking noise under the bonnet and an eerie rattling in the back and a spooky wheezing from underneath. I even thought there was a strange belching sound in the driver's seat, but then I realised that was just me.
Ghosts, you think?
I don't know. But what's really spine-chilling, Mr. Martin, is when I park and turn the ignition off, the engine keeps turning over like some demonic poltergeist. I have to hit the car three times with my Zimmer frame while yelling, "Out, damn beast!" before the girl sighs into submission. Look, I don't know, maybe it is. Maybe it's haunted by some Hagrid-ridden devilment. What do you think?
I think that's a distinct possibility.
Do you really?
Is there anything we can do to help?
I know it, because I'm just looking at outside my window now, and it's disappeared. Must have heard me talking about it and driven itself off. Oh, God, it's gone to hell. Thanks very much. Oh, and as for Naomi Robson doing her own makeup and hair, well, so do I, you know.
I would never have guessed.
Really? You'd think I'd hired a professional, actually, if you could see my photo. Anyway, good day. Get bent.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks, Ethel. I think we got off that pretty lightly.
Yeah.
I've heard it go in much harder.
I was expecting a real serve.
Oh, no? You'll cop it next time.
Oh, good.
Get this.
They are disgusting. I can't even find a word, but they give a lot of white people a bad name.
For Census 1234 on Triple M.
Everything is more expensive, but we have the answer. That's coming up next on Get This.
Triple M.
That's Bruce Springsteen. He's dancing in the dark. It's what? Get This. It's Triple M. Andrea Powell is back.
Oh, yes. I am. I was good moving the car. Didn't get a fine or anything.
Ethel Chopp called while you were away.
Really?
She was very antagonistic.
What did she want?
Oh, she was on about Naomi Robson doing her own makeup. But hey, let's take a bit of a climb. Talkback Mountain is the segment. I know you're probably thinking, oh, I haven't been on for a few weeks. I would have thought they would have dropped that sound effect by now, but nah.
I'm glad you haven't, and I can't wait. I think that goat is, you know, why is it crying? Can't get to the phone on time.
It's a goat in danger. Mm. It falls off a mountain, sets off an alarm clock. That was apparently...
Yep. It's got sizzle.
It's got sizzle.
It's raunchy.
If you got the bacon sound effect, just see if you have a look in our computer and see if you can find some bacon sound effects for us there, Bear, just while I crap on. Of course, as you may know, petrol prices very high.
Through the roof.
Interest rates going up.
Through the roof.
Here's what I'm sick of seeing. People coming on the news from sort of, credit card advisory groups minor politicians saying things like, oh, we don't think that families are going to have too much trouble coping with this. We don't think it's going to be too much pressure. It's going to be all right. What world are they living in? What sort of world? I mean...
Not our world, Tony.
Do you think John Howard has a mortgage?
The answer is yes, I do.
Yeah, he does feel like making love.
Wow, and then he managed to crank out into a guitar as well. Change his voice. He's no idea.
Multi-talented.
Got it all happening. But the fact is, budgets are under pressure.
Yeah.
People are going to be, chopping out the good stuff.
Yeah.
They're going to be looking for recipes. They're going to be looking for food ideas.
Yep.
And look at Ed Cavalier just drooling.
Hey.
He's developing what I say. We have a Labrador dog that gets, whenever you just mention food, you just say the word sandwich.
Ooh.
And something called the glass fangs develop. It's just the twin icicles of drool. That's Ed Cavalier whenever we mention food.
So happy.
On this show.
So happy.
And yesterday on the show, I've had a lot of people say to me that we were a little bit dismissive of your suggestion for a delicious dessert.
Yeah, it's basically ice cream, Andrea, Neapolitan, no chunks in. Tim Tam is placed strategically around the bowl in the microwave. Delicious.
Oh, that sounds good.
What happens when you put it in the microwave? Wouldn't it just all melt? I don't know.
Yeah, it kind of melts.
Into what?
Like a soup.
A soup?
I used to do ice cream, and then while it's still really frozen cold, I would pour over that carnation milk or whatever it is. Condensed milk. And let it freeze over the top, like, I don't know.
Like ice magic.
It was all white. That was good.
Isn't these economical, though? I mean, Tim Tams?
No.
It's a bit of a luxury item these days.
No.
And, of course, the obesity summit.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Queensland. I hear you've been hosting the obesity summit.
Yeah, why wasn't I told?
Brought to you by Hungry Jack's. but Tony Abbott's been up there, and that would have cleared the room.
Yeah.
he says, people need to know that a Mars bar or a Magnum is 1/8 of our daily food needs. I don't think that's suggesting you should do that.
Eat 8 of them.
But they said that about a pie as well. If you have a pie for morning tea, that's 1/6 of your daily nutrition allowance. It's like, well, you'd need a few more pies then, wouldn't you?
So they're saying if you eat 8 Magnums a day, you don't need to eat anything else.
Sweet.
That's what's come out of the obesity summit. Yeah. You know how there's an obesity summit? You know how I knew there's an obesity summit going on? Because I was watching the news with the sound down and I looked up and there was the footage.
There it was.
Fat blokes walking up the street from the neck down. Get the cameraman out, shoot a lot of fat blokes, neck down.
Just some anonymous asses.
I know there are large people out there watching the news one night, I think that's me. That's my ass wobbling up the street there. Really cruel the way they do that.
It's nasty.
You know, what are we looking for?
Well, cheap and like inexpensive, delicious, filling recipes. Maybe they're a bit kind of pegged together. I remember when I used to live in Newtown in Sydney, one of my flatmates got trench mouth, which is a disease not seen since the Second World War.
No.
Where basically the soldiers didn't have enough variety in their diet, so they got these ulcers and their stomach started eating itself.
Mm, there you go.
And my friend ate so much cheap, like discounted pasta.
Right.
That he got it.
He got trench mouth.
That wouldn't smell too good either, would it?
Well, I wasn't going to, give him any of my delicious meals.
We're not going to.
You weren't going to slip the tongue in.
We don't want people to call in about trench mouth.
No.
That was yesterday's show.
Yeah.
What we want is cheap, delicious suggestions.
Yes.
For poor people or families that are finding it difficult and they've had to pull in the purse strings.
Often I'll just get 2 bits of toast. Get some sardines, put it on, bit of Worcestershire sauce, and that'll be dinner. Because we had that 5 nights out of 7 when I was a kid, living in Tikawiti in New Zealand. It was every night was sardines on toast night. And occasionally,
how exciting.
I'll just do that. That'll just be a whole meal.
Yeah, my mum does that. She loves that.
Settle down.
You'll never get arthritis if you eat sardines.
No trench mouth. I just get the sardines on toast, on the couch, wait for the World Poker Tour. Wait for Mike Sexton to tell us that all your pots are monsters. That is my idea of entertainment.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Any other suggestions we want
to... Well, I've always found that coffee and cigarettes is rather filling.
There you go.
And
20 people have just stopped dialing. They've done that
and, one. Lit up.
And mud, that's cheap. for students, 2-minute noodles, always tasty. Cheap, I find... Give it a bit more kick. Boil them up in your bong water.
Wow. That's
and
a new one.
Ed, as a lot of people were emailing us about Ed's approach to all you can eat.
Yeah, well, don't eat bread. Don't drink fizzy drink. Don't eat any pasta.
Why? Because they're
non-delicious fillers.
Non-delicious fillers.
Oh, really?
Watch out for them non-delicious fillers, kids. give us a call with your serving suggestions.
Yay.
Something cheap that people can have to eat. In the new depression era Australia. that'll cheer everyone up.
1-3-3-5-3. Give us a ring.
Yep.
Triple M.
Yeah, that's Nickelback saving me here at Triple M. It's Get This. Andrea Powell's with us. Have you heard of Nickelback yet?
I have now, and I do feel saved.
There you go. I tell you what, we've got the station dog is here.
Oh, yeah.
It gets set off by Brian Adams. Let's see if Nickelback has any effect.
There we go.
That's unnecessary. That's unnecessary at any time of the day.
Feels much better now.
It does.
Panting up.
We're talking about food on this segment here. Talkback Mountain, the segment with sizzle, that's what it's got. It's got plenty of sizzle. There you go. Listen to that sizzle. We need more sizzle.
Awesome.
This shit. This sounded like somebody having acid purple.
Hey, it could be two things. It can be two things.
Dr. Fibes. we're talking about cheap snacks to eat in the new post-interest rate rise, petrol being $17 a litre era.
Yep.
Here's something not to eat, magnets. Kiddies are swallowing magnets, apparently, from toys. Don't let them eat the magnets.
Why?
What happens, I didn't think of this, the more magnets you swallow, they all join up in your stomach and create an obstruction.
Do you become Magneto, though? Do you get powers?
Well, I, with my record iron levels in the blood, I am Magneto.
You are. Oh, wow.
This is what he looks like. Pizza menus fluttering to the ground every time I walk past the fridge.
That is impressive.
These kiddies would eat less, though, wouldn't they? If their stomachs were full of magnets.
Oh, so you're saying that's actually a suggestion for saving money.
Well, it is, you know.
Right. The magnet diet. Load.
Not bad. Not bad.
I think our listeners have got ideas with more sizzle.
No. Hey, Troy, what's up?
Troy?
How you going, mate? What's your idea?
2 minute noodle stir fry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Friend. That's got sizzle.
All right. See? What do you sizzle?
What do you chuck in? What are your other ingredients?
Fry up a bit of bacon, bit of egg, bit of barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Boil the noodles and then whack them in the frying pan with the bacon and that. Mix it all up yum.
Sounds good. Now, is this a dinner?
Dinner, lunch, breakfast.
Oh, it's a multi.
Wow.
It's a tasty snack, I think. Oh, yeah. Troy.
Nice one, Troy. Mm.
You don't put bananas in there, though.
Oh, hell no. That's healthy.
You can't. They've gone up. No one can afford bananas. There's fancy restaurants in the city where you go, where seven waiters bring out a huge plate. It's just got a tiny banana on it with a sprig of parsley.
Hey, Troy, do you chuck the flavouring in? Like, do you chuck, like, the Oriental seasoning in as well?
Definitely. And Oriental's the best flavouring to throw in with
I thought so. How does Oriental and barbecue sauce go together?
Well, when I go the Oriental sauce flavouring, I usually throw a bit of oyster sauce, but it's all good.
You are a gourmet, my friend.
It's getting expensive, though, oyster sauce.
That's why you gotta downgrade to the barbecue sauce.
You decanter it when you're at Chinese restaurants.
Decanter it?
All right. Okay.
Can I get this to go?
that's a nice suggestion. Thanks, I hope people were writing that down. Jeff is with us. Hey, Jeff, where are you calling from?
Calling from the motorway at the moment.
All right. Wait, what part of the country?
I've got, on what side of the country? On the best side of the country, God's country, mate, down the south side of Brisbane.
Oh, Brisbane, yes. Yeah. And, of course, bananas. Can anyone afford bananas down there? What about water? No one in Queensland's allowed to drink water, isn't it? Like
we're
one
on tank water, mate. We don't touch that chlorinated rubbish.
One glass a week, that's what I've been told.
Your teeth will fall out.
I've got a good
out.
One for you guys.
What Let's
you got,
hear Jeff? It.
Right, yeah, economical, fattening and healthy. How's that?
Wow.
Chop up, taking every box. Fruit, big and chunky. Melt some Mars bars, and then you dip your fruit into the Mars bar dip.
Wow.
Like fruit Mars bar fondue kind
it's
of deal.
It's a fondue.
It's a beauty.
Is it breakfast? What are we there talking?
Oh, 24-7 anytime you're
exactly.
There we go.
Have you pulled over to the side of the road just to set a bit of that up? Plug into the lighter. Very nice. Well, that's what they're eating in Brisbane.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Jeff.
It's very healthy.
I think Leonard is with us, and Leonard might be from Blacktown. Are you there?
Yeah, mate.
What's the go in Blacktown? Cheap, economical food.
I don't know about economical, but cheap. Definitely my friend has had the old toothpaste sandwiches.
Toothpaste? Wow. That's got sizzle.
When you run out of the old Vegemite and peanut butter, rip the old Colgate out.
The Colgate.
Down pretty good.
Oh, that's a breakfast food, I would imagine.
Yeah, no, the gel, that would be the breakfast food. And then the normal toothpaste, the whitening toothpaste for dinner. You want to have a bit of variety in your diet.
And so you wouldn't have to brush your teeth before you go to bed.
No.
Have you tried it, Leonard? Have you tried it?
No, I might.
That is so good.
Yeah, he bragged about trying it and he did done it in front of us one day and he looked pretty satisfied, actually.
A tartar control meal.
That's it.
What a fantastic idea. Oh, man, can we go great. Better? Can
thanks,
we go better?
Thanks, Leonard. That was wonderful. Hey, Phil.
Yeah.
Phil, what's going on?
Where are you speaking to us from?
I'm hiding out the back at work.
Where's that?
I'm hiding out the back at work.
Yeah, but what part of the country?
In Ringwood.
Ringwood! Ringwood gets a laugh.
Yeah.
People I must it. Remember to say that when the segment isn't working. What's the go in Ringwood, Phil?
The go is, the 40-cent hash browns that you get from the deli.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You do those in the pop-up toaster. You can lay the toaster down if you're worried about dripping the oil in the bottom of the toaster.
Yeah. Oh, it's toaster on its side.
And you put a bit of the lemon pepper tuna on top.
Oh, yeah.
With a bit of grated cheese, and you've got yourself a meal for between $2 or $3.
And what do you call that? Ringwood surprise?
No, I put the tuna on so I can have a really good think about what I've done after I've eaten it.
That's very nice. Wow. And what setting do you have to have the toaster on? Any suggestions? Because people need that information.
Oh, yeah, put it on medium, and you've got to push them down 4 or 5 times to get them just right.
Mm. Yeah. Now, Phil, how did you learn to join your love of hash browns, tuna and cheese? Like what?
They cut my gas off.
Ah,
there it is.
They cut your gas off.
The only way I could cook anything was in the toaster. So I learned how to cook everything in the toaster.
What else can you cook in a toaster?
I can do chops.
Chops? How many times do you have to put a chop in there? Seven, look, eight.
You've got to stand there for about half an hour, but you end up with a result.
A result.
Yeah. Results orientated, Phil. I like that.
Fantastic. And why do they cut your gas off? Economic reasons, or just something you said?
The recession, mate. Like you said.
Yeah. Oh well, there's a lot of people on the press saying, you know, oh, it's not going to be a problem. People can handle interest rate rise.
A heater either, so I could stand in front of the toaster and warm your hands
up. Gee, the toaster is the key to everything.
That's right.
Oh, Pete, you could also do that with the oven if you've got an electric oven.
No, I had a gas oven.
Oh, yeah. Well, that wouldn't have worked, would it? Forget it.
He's worked out. He can do anything. He's driving his toaster to work. That's what he'll be doing. Those were great suggestions.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks, Phil.
Thanks to everyone who contributed. Would Ethel chop, what would Ethel's idea of a cheap meal be, Andrew?
Meat's expensive. Why not make a tasty stew out of roadkill?
Yep, that's got sizzle.
Get this.
Doesn't turn me on, but now and then I don't mind hearing it.
For Census 1234 on Triple M.
Oh, look, that would be
Fine Young Cannibals with She Drives Me Crazy.
Just still trying to clean up the mess in here.
Yeah, that's cool.
We've got to get through the backlog of old newspaper articles. I've got something here about the Millennium Bug. I've got to really clean out the files. It's Get This here at Triple M, and Andrea Powell has sat in for the whole hour. Nothing to actually plug, have you? Or are you?
No, not really, no.
Right. What's the show you've been directing? People might want to see that if they're in Melbourne.
It's very nice. It's Nellie Thomas in Family Ties, which is at the Portland Hotel, which used to be the old Santa Fe strip club.
Oh, you go. Touch of class. She's very good, Nellie Thomas.
She's very good. She's an ex-Raw, winner and so on.
What have you got for...
Well, I found this extraordinary. Oh. Apparently Australia is the highest ecstasy-using nation in the world.
Right. Wow, finally.
Going for gold, green and gold glory.
Finally saw off the challenge of the Netherlands.
And, we're way above the Netherlands. I can't believe it. We're 4.2, they're only 1.5.
Percentage?
That's a percentage of population. Second is the Czech Republic.
Yeah, that'd be right.
You can't believe that's pretty depressing.
But of course, when the people are on the ecstasy, that you don't need. It's not hard to subdue them. You know, it's like we worked out this week that apparently, if you're on the ice, 8 men, 3 cans of capsicum spray.
Yeah.
What would you need with someone on ecstasy?
Just a bit of a warm hug, a tap on the shoulder.
And an eiderdown.
A pair of big pants.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big shiny pants.
And listen to this. This is what they say. 70% of people arrested in Australia have used illegal drugs in the 30 days before they were arrested.
Oh.
What does that mean?
Right.
Well,
if you take radio announcers out of the equation, what does the statistic drop to?
0.01.
What about that Barry Humphries punching out a photographer? Give him a round.
Yeah, on him. Why did he do that?
The photographer was chasing him around, and Barry's 72, and
the Baz man gets pretty cranky.
He can land a punch. But entertainment industry bottom feeder Peter Ford said the incident highlighted the extreme tactics of the Sydney paparazzi. The unfortunate thing is that a shot of Barry Humphries having lunch is worth $150. That's the going rate.
$150?
Of a celebrity of Barry's stature.
That's a bit sad.
$150. But if there is a shot of him lunging at a photographer, it is worth several thousand. So obviously the guy was trying to get him to punch him out. Because that's like a couple of grand. That's lunch money.
And also
money.
If he was dressed as Les Patterson or Dame Edna, it would be worth a lot more, surely.
It goes up high. Well, I went on to CNN's website and the headline there is, Dame Edna punches out reporter.
Quite different.
Oh, it must be time to go. What did we learn today about Naomi Robson?
I do my own hair and makeup.
Confirmed everyone's suspicions.
And so does Ethel Chop. There we are.
Ethel Chop, she should be hosting today tonight. How good would that be?
Exactly. That'd be great.
She should be down in Beaconsfield standing in front of some equipment.
Oh, she wouldn't bother doing that. It's too cold. I'll see them when they're out.
Okay. Thanks to everyone who took part. Yeah. Thank you very much, Andrea.
Thank you, Tony and Ed. Great.
Thank you all the master chefs.
Oh, brilliant.
Who called us
brilliant,
in.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
And... hey, I think the key phrase today was chopping a toaster. And we'll be back tomorrow with Anthony Morgan. How's that? That'll be interesting. All thanks to Sensors 1234.